Welcome to worship this morning, everybody. Thank you for your patience with the signal box in the corner. We do apologise for that. It wasn't quite what we expected, but it is the Creation Theatre production props, and we'll be talking to them later. As Peter will tell you, communion will be passed around in the chairs today, in the seats, to avoid confusion over here in this corner. There is bread church after worship, and I'm sure Peter is more than ready to welcome as many people as want to learn to make bread as he can fit into the John Wesley room, and that is quite a lot. So if you would like to join bread church, feel free. Everything is provided. And it is a great delight to welcome our minister, the Reverend Peter Powers, to lead our worship and communion this morning. Thank you, Peter.
And thank you, Kate, and thank you, choir. Lovely. We love an introit. As we come to worship, we invite all who are thirsty to come. The lost and the seekers, the lonely and the welcomers, the sad and the comforters, the empty and the generous, come as you are, all with your questions and with your beliefs. Come and drink at the well of the living water. Come and worship the living God. As I look out from a slightly different perspective this morning, and sometimes changing our perspective can be illuminating. We can learn things. You might be looking at the church in a direction you've not really looked before, and certainly not with at least the vestiges of a signal box to look at. I wanted to begin by asking us to see whether we could identify ourselves as parts of certain groupings. This is not a requirement, but just a little bit of fun to represent both our diversity and our commonality, things that we hold that are the same. So let's begin with something easy. If you have, or believe yourself, you may not have looked for long enough recently, to have blue eyes, just raise your hands with me. I think I've got blue eyes, mostly. Sometimes they're a bit red, depending on how well I've slept. Okay, so let's try then, consider yourself to be tall. Okay, yeah. You can be tall for your age, not just generally tall. Very good. Okay, please raise your hand if you consider yourself or identify as female. And just so we're covering a wide age range, let's do two for ages. Careful now. Consider yourself if you are over 60 years old. Now, I hesitate to put my hand up because people will be saying, I can hear you thinking now. I can hear you thinking, well, he doesn't look it. What's that about? Well, let's hope so. And if you consider yourself under the age of 15, let's say. Now, if you'd like to be under the age of 15 again. If you consider yourself to be sporty. Let's put your hand up. Definitely. Lots of sportiness. How about if you consider yourself scared of the dark? Yeah, I'm not keen, to be honest. I'm kind of half a hand up. It depends where I am. I find the countryside very scary in the dark. I'm fine in the city where all the muggers and robbers are, but in the countryside, I really worry about being in the countryside. How about if you consider yourself a good dancer? Come on, Professor, get you. Anthony's with us. Good to see you, Anthony. Some of these things, of course, are easier if they are identified by others, not asking ourselves. Somebody might say, oh, you're a good dancer. We might not consider ourselves one. Let's try this one. How about if you consider yourself born locally? Welcome. Lovely to see you. If you consider yourself a local Oxfordian, now that's illuminating, isn't it? Tells us something about the journeys we make in life. How about if you have, how about if you've ever told a lie? Well, thank heavens for that. Those who've never told a lie are probably not as welcome here as others. How about if you've got a pet, Eric? Yeah, pets are good. We like pets. How about if you've ever made a mistake? Oh, I'll put both hands up for that constantly. How about if you've ever felt lonely? Maybe not recently. Something not to look forward to, perhaps, for you. If you consider yourself to be a good cook, Rowan won the puddings again this year, so if he doesn't put his hand up, I'll be over there straight away. Well, I've not killed anyone yet. That's the basis I work on. If nobody's been ill from what I've made, that's good. How about if you've ever felt that somebody has judged you unfairly? Yeah, it's a game. It's a high one. How about, and lastly, if you feel that you've achieved something quite difficult? Yeah. Have you achieved something constantly? Getting up this morning and then being in a state to be here for church. These things, just a few things that I've chosen there from a list of other possibilities, and you can think of them yourself, are just a few things that can make us feel the same or different. Sometimes it can be really hard when we feel that we're different to other people and we stand out, when we feel we don't belong perhaps. We might think in these days, with all the discussions that are going on, those who are refugee in a new country, perhaps. Many different ways that we might feel outside, left out, pushed from the community. Today, for a moment in our service and in our junior church, we're going to think about what it means to feel that everyone is welcome, everyone is invited. Whether we are the same or different, we are all able to belong to what we might describe as the big family of God, using the word family in as wide a way as you can imagine. Some people's experiences of family are mixed, and we recognize that and walk alongside one another in all our experiences. But as we think about the big family of God, it's a big family because everyone is a part. We're going to sing a song now, thanks to Frank, who's got the relevant buttons to press. It's going to appear on the screen up there. And it's kind of sing along with Nikki and Becky Drake, for those who haven't got a clue who they are. That's who've written Sing. So hopefully we'll sing along to the big family of God.
Small. Some of us like pink and some like blue. Some of us like reading books. Some of us like feeding ducks. That's because we're different, me and you. But God loves everyone He's made. God loves each of us. To wear. All of us have different families.
Please do be seated as we pray. Now, God, we are drawn to the wells you offer us to seek the water of eternal life. Refresh us with your word. Surround us with your love and fill us to overflowing with your spirit, the water of life, that we may never be thirsty. Amen. So our junior church are going to head off to their own activities. The Lord be with you. Beautifully done. Have a great time. I think there is painting involved today. Not one another, but... I will do, yes. We love it when the little ones are actually in charge, as it should be. Good to see you. Just been asked, but make sure you get someone to come in and tell us when it's time for communion, he said. I feel suitably encouraged in that. We will do so. From that very kind of modern way of singing and hearing God's word, we return to something more familiar as we sing our next hymn, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. If you're using the hymn book, it's 556, the words are on the screen, and we're very grateful to our organist this morning, who's been practicing wonderfully. We've enjoyed that first thing. We sing together. So as we sit and rest, we turn to God. in our prayers. Let us pray. Jesus, be with us in our mind's eye as we pray. As we see ourselves drawn to your well to seek the water of eternal life. Creator God, we sometimes come to this well, tired after a busy week, our minds, bodies, and souls in need of refreshment. And as Jesus came to the well, tired from his journey, he sought not only to receive refreshment, but to give spiritual life. Loving God, we too want to receive and to give. And so as we pray, we offer ourselves to you so that you can do your work in and through us. We picture that woman at the well who knew Jesus, and Jesus knew her, warts and all. And so we come before you now and sit at the well expectantly with hearts open, ready to acknowledge our wrongdoings. Lord, please forgive us for the times we have failed you and others unintentionally or sometimes deliberately. Forgive us for thinking we can fool you about the less public parts of our lives, about the state of our hearts. Help us to humbly acknowledge that you know everything we have ever done. You know when we have excluded people. You know when we haven't recognized you in others and in the world. Fill our hearts with your forgiveness, Lord. And make us ready to continue our journey with you. Help us to see as the woman recognizes Jesus for who he really is, that the Samaritans might hear that Jesus is the Savior of the world. They can't help but believe. And may we see today that you know us, Lord, through and through. May we hear that you are our Savior. May we be astonished by your amazing love and acceptance of us, realizing that you have always known us. And be with us in our praise and worship. As our eyes are closed, we imagine being at that well, where the spring of water wells up to eternal life. Knowing that as they were there for the Samaritan woman, God's love and forgiveness are freely there for us too. As we take up that water, the water of life, as we give thanks to Jesus for his gifts. Amen. Given that we are in the midst of what has become a theatre in part for the theatre company using it, we're going to have a dramatic reading of the story that we have alluded to already, Jesus encountering the woman at the well. What I needed to ask is, are the words going to appear? Fantastic. Thank you, Frank. Thank you. The reason I say that is because there's a part for everyone as the congregation. So that we have our readers who will come forward now, I think, and get ready to read the main parts. But when it says congregation, I invite you all to join in with those words that will appear on the screen. It's a little later in the story. The congregation, as we gather, I guess, in the story, represent the disciples, those who were gathered around Jesus at the explanation or the encounter, retelling of the story. Thank you.
Jesus was traveling with his disciples back from Judea to Galilee. Passing through Samaria, they came to a town called Sychar. The land given to Jacob by his father Joseph was nearby. Tired from the journey, Jesus stopped to rest at Jacob's well, while the disciples went into the town to buy food. It was about midday. A Samaritan woman approached on her own to draw water.
"Will you give me a drink?"
"You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink?"
Jews didn't mix with Samaritans. They considered them unclean.
"If you knew what God wants to give to you and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked me for living water and I would give it to you."
"How can you draw water with no bucket? This well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well?"
"Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But if you drink the water I give you, you will never be thirsty again. It will become a spring of life-giving water inside you that brings eternal life."
"Please give me some of this water so I won't have to keep coming here to draw water."
"Go and fetch your husband."
I have no husband."
"That's quite true. You've had 5 husbands. And the man you are living with now is not your husband."
"Oh, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say we must worship in Jerusalem."
"Believe me, the time is coming when you will worship the Father, not on this mountain or in Jerusalem. In fact, the time is here now. God is spirit, and true worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth."
I know that the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything."
"I am that one who is speaking with you now."
Just then the disciples came back. They were surprised to find him talking to a woman. But no one asked her what she wanted and why he was talking to her. Leaving her water jar behind her, the woman went back to the town.
"Teacher, please eat something."
"I have food to eat that you know nothing about."
"Did someone bring him something to eat?"
"My food is to do what God wants. You say 4 more months and then the harvest will be ready. But the fields are ripe and the harvest is ready now. Those who planted and those who gather are reaping the harvest of eternal life. The saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. Others have done the hard work, and you are reaping the benefits of their work.
Come and see a man who told me everything about my life. Could this be the Christ? That sounds amazing.
That sounds amazing. Could it be him? Where is he? Let's go and see him.
The Samaritan people came to see Jesus because of what the woman had said.
Come and stay with us. We want to hear what you have to teach us.
So Jesus stayed with them for 2 days, and because of his words, many more became believers, as they told the woman from the well.
We don't believe just because you told us. Now we've heard for ourselves.
We know this man really is the Savior of the world.
Thank you to our readers. We're going to sing again from the Oxford Circuit Songbook. It's number 187 if you're using the book, but the words will be on the screen for you. You have the words of life, Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. For you are our Maker, our Redeemer and our Sustainer, through Christ the Lord. Amen. When my girls went to secondary school, in fact, I think in the last year of primary, one of the things that they were challenged to do was to write something in another person's voice. By taking up, as it were, putting on the shoes and the clothing of another character and then writing a piece of prose or poetry, perhaps. And we had some interesting conversations as they did this. My youngest used to say things like, "Dad, how can I be a man?" And I said, "Well, you're not actually going to be a man. That would just be very confusing. But you're invited to put yourself in the shoes of a character that is a man, and then write from that perspective." Of course, what they didn't know was what the school was encouraging them to do was something that is at the peak of Maslow's law of hierarchy, for those who are into that sort of thing or similar, which suggests after certain basic needs are met, food, shelter, and so on, warmth, as human beings, we kind of rise through the possibilities of greatness. And right at the very top is the ability to show empathy, to put yourself in another person's place, to see them and to see the world from their perspective. Now, without me taking too much time over this, it seems to me that we are missing some of that in our country at the moment. People are not able to put themselves in the place of others, particularly those who are in difficult circumstances. One of the things I've done over the years is I've tried to write meditations occasionally from the perspectives of others, and this is one I'm going to share with you now from the perspective of that Samaritan woman. And as Rosie points out, it's not easy to be a man when you're not a man, as she said. It's not easy to be a Samaritan woman from 2,000 years ago when you're none of those things and way out of that time. But it is a helpful exercise for a moment or two to put ourselves in the place of others, for it can change us forever. He was full of surprises, that man, from the moment I first met him. I thought that he'd push me aside like all the rest, either that or walk away with his head in the air. He was a Jew, remember, and I a Samaritan, and worse than that, a woman, alone. Yet he stayed where he was, a smile on his face, quite happy, apparently, to be in my company. Well, call me suspicious if you like, but I wasn't sure what he was up to. So I asked him straight out, "Oh, you, what's your game?" He laughed at that, and then he offered me a drink of water. At least I thought that what he was doing, though I wasn't sure. You see, he had no bucket to draw the water, and he could hardly shin down the well, could he? So where was this water he was on about meant to come from? To be frank with you, I suspected he was pulling my leg, but I was beginning to like him despite the nonsense he talked. He had a nice way with him. He was kind, he was gentle. Bit of all right in an unconventional sort of a way. So I played along, wondering where it would all lead. If only I'd known. What an embarrassment I might have saved myself. I'll never know how he guessed, but suddenly he looked straight at me, you know, and for the first time, I noticed his eyes. They didn't undress you like so many men seem to do. In truth, they looked much, much deeper, almost as if into my very soul. And then he started talking about my lovers, my husbands, my past, every detail correct. It was uncanny, it was frightening, far too near the knuckle. So I tried to fob him off with some old chestnut about worship. But even then he threw me none of the usual pat answers, but a response that reached right into the heart of the matter, cutting through all the trivia. And it was after that he produced the biggest surprise of all. He told me he was the Messiah. I didn't know what to say. I just stood there gawping, flabbergasted, as my old mum used to say. I mean, I realised he was a prophet, but the Messiah? It couldn't be. I told myself, no way. I went back down into the village, seeking reassurance, wanting someone to tell me he was just another religious nutcase. But they didn't. No, they didn't. They were curious. Wanted to see for themselves. And when they gathered round him, when they heard him, listened to his words, his teaching, they believed he was the Messiah. And I can hear you asking, me? What about me? Well, I still don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised, not if I'm honest. Nothing would surprise me about him. Let's pray. Jesus, living Lord, we talk of following you. But if we are really honest, much of the time we expect you to follow us. When we tie you down to our narrow horizons. When we restrict you to our own expectations. Oh, Jesus, break through the chains we put around you. Help us to face the challenges you daily bring us, that we might have eyes to see and ears to hear. Amen. We're going to take up our offering now, bringing bread and wine, which we will share together in communion in a moment or two. But we also bring the gifts, some of which have winged their way to us through the modern technology of transfers from banks and things, into the heart of this place and its ministry in the centre of Oxford. We thank you for those gifts. And we bring ourselves most of all before God now as we receive our gifts. Apologies, I hope that will be better. As we bring the gifts we have brought and will bring, and as we bring this bread and wine, we pray. As we bring our gifts to you, O God, help our hearts and minds and lives to be expanded beyond our wildest dreams. Help us to be astonished as we accept everyone in your love. Help us to be surprised by all that our meager gifts can do in your hands and through ours. Help people to hear for themselves something of your love for them through our lives. And thank you for giving us our best life in you. Amen. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest." Our next hymn is number 248 in Singing the Faith, and the words will be on the screen for us, after which Derek is going to come and lead us in our prayers of intercession. 248.
In our prayers of intercession, the response to the bidding, "Lord, hear us," is, "Lord, graciously hear us. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us." Let us pray for the Church of God throughout the world, and today, with others across the connection, we pray for Christians in Jamaica, the Leeward Islands, Panama, Costa Rica, and the South Caribbean. We pray for the victims of the mass shooting in Hamburg and for all those affected in any way by this event, and that they will find strength in their faith and your love. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Let us pray for those who have power and influence, and for all who govern the nations. We pray particularly for our own government as they seek to introduce new legislation to prevent those risking their lives by crossing the English Channel in small boats from seeking asylum here. We pray that our MPs will take a compassionate view in their debates over the coming weeks, and always be mindful of the needs of those seeking to make a new life here. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Let us pray for the powerless, for all victims of famine and all those suffering with the effects of climate change, the COVID-19 pandemic, and the economic situation. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Let us pray for the people of Ukraine as the war continues, and we pray especially for the efforts of the United Nations in trying to ensure that grain exports may continue and that peace will soon come to Ukraine. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Let us pray for the afflicted and sorrowful, and for all who need our prayers, and whom we name silently in our hearts. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Let us remember before God those who have passed from this life in faith and obedience, giving thanks for those we name in silence. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Eternal God, through the self-offering of your Son, you have filled our lives with your presence. Help us in our sufferings and trials, and strengthen us in our weakness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we conclude our prayers by saying the words that Jesus gave us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Do not bring us to the time of trial, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We're going to share bread and wine together now. We're going to invite you to stay in your seats partly because the space is a bit changed up here. But we're going to invite you to share bread and wine with one another, which basically means that the bread first and then the wine will come down the row to you, and at either end of the row will be one of those communion stewards to take the plate and then the tray, to the next row. You don't need to do much other than to make sure that you pass it on from one person to another, otherwise it will stall. Those of you who are in a kind of world of your own, that's not what I mean, but you know what I mean, in your own little space, we will see to making sure you receive where you are as well, don't worry. We're going to invite you to hold the bread and to hold the wine after you have shared it with one another so that we might eat all together. So after everyone has bread, then I will pray and we will share bread and wine together. And the same at the end of the giving out of the wine, hold your little glass cup and then we will share that together also. And we'll make sure choir receive similarly. If you're using the service book, the words will appear on the screen, but it's on page 153 and following the communion for this season of Lent. Let's be still. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessing and praise belong to you, gracious and eternal God. Through your living word, you created all things, the majesty of the heavens and the glory of the earth. In your wisdom and goodness, you have made all people in your image and likeness. Therefore, with saints and angels and with all creation, we lift up our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise that in the fullness of time you gave your only Son to share our human nature and to be tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin, to set his face resolutely towards Jerusalem and to be lifted high upon the cross that he might draw all creation to himself. When the hour of his glory came and loving his own to the end, he sat with them at supper, took bread, and after giving thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his followers, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. In obedience to his command, we recall his suffering and death, his resurrection and ascension, and we look for his coming in glory. Send your Holy Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of Christ. In union with Christ's offering for us, we offer ourselves as a holy and living sacrifice. Unite us in love and peace with all your people until with the whole company of heaven we are brought into the presence of your eternal glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, through him, with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. The bread we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. Christ is the bread of life. The cup we take is a sharing in the blood of Christ. Christ is the true vine. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Let us pray. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may forevermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. And so now receive this holy sacrament of the body and blood of Christ and feed on the Lamb of God with reverence and faith. I invite those who are serving us as communion stewards to come forward now as we bring bread and then wine to you. Please hold the bread that you might be able to share it all together. Let us pray. Grant that we may know you, O Christ, in this bread and in the company of others as we share together. Amen.
Let us pray.
And as we drink this blood, may it be for us living water in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you have nourished us with the bread of life and with the cup of salvation. May we who have received this sacrament be strengthened in your service. We who have sung your praises live in your glory. We who have known the greatness of your love, see you face to face in your kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There will be more bread. You'll be making it if you come to Bread Church. Afterwards, we've got soup and fruit and good things to eat and to share. You'll be very welcome after the service. We will, of course, offer refreshment in the main hall before that, and you're welcome to stay for any or all of those ministries. We sing our closing hymn, "Let Us Build a House Where Love Can Dwell." It's number 409 in Singing the Faith. We sing together to God's glory. We thank you, O God, that we are accepted. We thank you that we belong. We thank you that you give us the water of life to drink. Help us to be accepting of others and invite them to drink this water too. And may the blessing of God, Creator, Son, Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.